League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back. News and notes. Some things that have happened. nice job, Texas. Now you got everybody throwing trash on the field. LSU just got fined $250,000 for throwing trash on the field because Texas, if Texas can do it, then we can do it. Nice job. Nice job. Ole Miss was fined $350,000. There were 16 seconds left in the game, and they rushed the field. 16 seconds. Georgia could have come back and won that football game. But no. But no, because
that was ass-kicking, by the way. Kirby's got to look at his team. It hadn't felt like the same Georgia team. Honestly, nobody feels like a national champ this year. Nobody. I don't know one team that stands out. Maybe you say Dan Lanning. I'm not sure I'm believing in Will Howard. I don't know if a Will Howard team can win a national championship, but I do like their weapons. But they've got a real problem at left tackle. Ohio State does. They lost their starting left tackle for the season to injury, and they are really struggling right now to figure it out. Oregon, I guess, would be the team. I guess Oregon would be the team. But Texas, I mean, I like Texas too. I just worry. I don't know if Quinn, is there a glass ceiling on Texas upward mobility? Their offensive line, it's going to be out today. Well, I can't say it. There will be a press release, but we had to decide on Texas getting into the Joe Moore Award semifinalists. But the offensive line, they're not running a ball all that great. Like, they don't dominate as a run blocking unit. And ultimately, do you trust Quinn Ewers to be able to beat a Dan Lanning team?
Not a good team.
Or a Kirby Smart team? Do you trust?
I don't know. I don't know about that. Right now, Georgia is of the 11th seed, and they're outside looking in. Because there has to be a group of six team in it, when there is none in the top 12. And Miami is 12th. How about they dropped from 3rd to 12th? I mean, that was a hell of a fall.
I mean, frauds.
Well, they were third seeded, but fourth in the rankings, and we haven't had the CFP rankings out. We just had the AP. So they're fourth in the AP, dropped to 12th. But as the likely still top ACC power conference team, they would still be the third seed at this point.
Yeah, right, because they're still as probably the 12th ranked team.
Yes.
Or whatever they're going, whatever the college football playoff poll is going to put them.
Yes, they unless they put SMU ahead of them, which I guess they could, but SMU didn't play, so there is no data point for them right now. They would still be, so they would be seeded third, ranked 11th, 12th, whatever it might be.
Right, right. So it's Georgia that's actually, after their loss, if the college football playoff, which is tonight, they'll come, the rankings will come out. If it's anything like the AP, Georgia's outside looking in. Because you've got to have a team from the group of five in there, and they don't. Miami or SMU will be the one ACC team. And the one Big 12 team is BYU and then Notre Dame. So you've got four teams other than SEC and Big 10 that are in it right now. And Georgia, with their second loss, is well, now, it's recency bias as far as, I guess, if they go the same. But you can't have Georgia ahead of Ole Miss after Ole Miss just beat them, right? You can't have them ahead of Alabama after Alabama just went to LSU and won.
And they,
certainly not ahead of Tennessee.
Yeah, and Alabama beat Georgia, and they both have two losses. So you would think Georgia would be behind those teams. And you look, Georgia plays Tennessee this week. They beat Tennessee, then things flip their way, back their way, and Tennessee goes away. So They still have another game to get themselves back in the race, and that's kind of what the dream was for people who liked the 12, that Georgia lost to Ole Miss, they would be done. Instead, they can go beat Tennessee and be right back in it.
What kind of chaos will there be if Texas A&M beats Texas?
Well, chaos is a ladder, they say. That's what they said.
And A&M would rise up that ladder.
It would be chaos, and that's why there are signs of chaos. Georgia getting beat by Ole Miss. A&M getting beat by South Carolina, which, by the way, South Carolina is a sneaky, sneaky, dangerous team right now. They got a new quarterback in. They got an offensive line that's playing well, and their defensive front about it is, like, you do not want to see South Carolina right now. But it is a little bit of chaos.
There's a lot of chaos.
What happens if Georgia – well, Georgia won't lose to Georgia Tech. But they better not, because then they wouldn't make the playoffs. They're going to make it with two losses.
Well, they play Tennessee. They may not make the playoffs.
Oh, that's right. They got Tennessee. So Tennessee's got a good defense, a good running game.
That's a playoff game right there. It's actually another LSU-Alabama was a playoff game, and we got Tennessee and Georgia as a playoff game this week.
You're right.
If Tennessee loses, they could be out.
Does LSU have three losses?
Yeah, LSU's out.
Yeah, they're out.
LSU's done.
Georgia with three is out. Tennessee has one, though, right?
Tennessee has one loss. But Georgia will have two, and Georgia just beat them. So,
yeah, it'll be – but you're getting three. Well, Ole Miss will be in there. I mean, unless they get beat Mississippi State. But Ole Miss will be in there, right? I mean, you're going to have Alabama, probably Ole Miss, maybe Texas A&M, maybe Tennessee, maybe Georgia. You guys think four teams? Yeah.
There's four and four. It'll be four Big Ten, four Big Four SEC.
Yeah, I think Miami's lost to Georgia Tech, eliminated the ACC getting two.
Yes.
So that's a win and you're in scenario for, at this point, SMU and Miami. I think Miami still controls their own fate because they beat Louisville, and their tiebreaker with Clemson is common opponent. That's their only common opponent, and they beat Louisville, and Clemson didn't. So Miami wins their next two regular season games, they're in. Obviously, SMU wins out, they're in. And that game will be for a spot. And the ACC is not getting another one.
No, the ACC is only getting one. The Big 12 is only getting one. If Colorado beats BYU, they're in.
If BYU wins,
they're in. But they're not getting in with a loss to Colorado in the championship game.
No, there's only one team in the Big 12 that'll
Big
make
12
it.
Has only got one. Notre Dame is going to get one.
Yep.
And then the group of five, group of six is going to get one.
Group of six.
It's Army or Boise?
Probably Boise.
Well, Boise loses again. Army's undefeated still.
Let me tell you this, boys. The Joe Moore Award loves Army. They are wrecking people up front. They are really, really a tough offensive line unit. We know Army's the same that they always are in terms of the offense they run. Nothing ever changes. They're just way better at it this year. Like, Army is a team you don't love seeing. Now, they would really – it will be fun to see them in the playoffs. So, if they get in the playoffs and they've got to play one of these other, you know, top 10 caliber teams, it'll be really fun to see that, because preparing for Army is unlike anything you've done most – you won't have done it at all this year. There's no chance you will have – highly unlikely you would have prepared for a triple option. So, it'll be fun to see – how teams prepare for what Army does. Really fun.
Yeah. Ricky. There's zero chance that Mississippi State beats Ole Miss. My goodness, Mississippi State blows. They're terrible. Time to talk about – listen, let's get back. Who – I love this quote. We'll hear from Alperen Şengün on the other side. Alpy just very casually talks about himself. Okay, he didn't go third person, but he did go, I'm pretty good. Just so you know, I'm kind of a big
he is
deal.
Pretty good.
He is pretty good.
He is pretty good.
Time to talk about mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. If you're looking for the best way to bet, win, and get paid, and bet anything, anytime, anywhere, all I need you to do is go to mybookie. Mybookie.ag will double your deposit. They've been doing this the whole football season, okay? Whatever deposit you make, if you're a player, if you're just brand new, you got to put in promo code BET975, and they'll double that deposit. So my bookie, what bookie have you ever heard of that's going to give you twice as much as you put in, right? I mean, it's really ridiculous. And MyBookie does, but yet MyBookie does it. MyBookie says, yeah, we can do it, and we will do it, and we love to do it. And you just come bring it. Bring it. See if you can beat us. And here's the deal. They're tough. It's obviously it's gambling, but here's the deal. You get all the lines. You get live in-game betting. You got all the props you could possibly want. It's incredible. And all of the different sports or entertainment or politics that you could possibly bet. Or casino gambling that you could possibly bet. You've got it all with live dealers as well. It is a great best play to play, win, and get paid. You're looking for a place to play. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. MyBookie.ag, but you've got to put in promo code BET975.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
Rockets winning 107-92. It was the Wiz. They got the Clippers coming up for two games. Okay? Two straight games. And Justin doesn't have to give away tickets. Well, he already did give away tickets for this one, I think. But Justin won this week. So he doesn't have to give away. Yeah. Last night
he won the double banger last night.
Yeah, he had the Rams, and it was the Dolphins won that one. So he had that, and he had the Rams over, which was a bad call as well.
So Justin won the round, is what you're saying?
Justin won that round.
Because right. Justin had – I got Justin – yeah, because Cody had the Rams minus one, the over Rams Dolphins.
Yeah, it was both losers.
Yeah, Cody won Pittsburgh plus 2.5 and Broncos plus 8.
That was it. That was Justin it. Had Miami and the Texans, so that was two. They both had two wins. So.
Yeah. So.
I mean, Cody, terrible.
I mean, Justin wasn't good, but he did win.
No. But you got the LA Clippers coming in for two straight. I like it because it's smart. It's really good for the players. I don't know that it's great for the fans to see the same team in town, two straight games, but it is what it is. But I'll tell you this, ain't nobody could dominate the paint like Alpi. Just ask him.
Were you able to tell early that you would be able to take their young center and score on him?
I mean, yeah, you know, that's what I do. Just dominating the paint, and then I was just, you know, playing hard.
So you come out of the timeout, about 7-8 minutes left. Did you just want the ball in every possession after that?
No, I was just, you know, I was just trying to do what the game plan is and whatever coach calls. I was trying to do that, and then, you know, I was just scoring, and then Ime just called the play for me.
Mm-hmm. He calls him Ime.
Yeah, that's what his name is. They're all grown men.
Well, I guess I could see CJ saying Miko instead of coach or whatever. Yeah, I guess I could see that.
Yeah.
Ime. Yeah, okay. I don't know why I felt like that was
disrespectful.
Coach Bowden, like in college, I don't think you'd say.
Well, coach at college is different.
Well, no, I think the players probably say Sark because that's kind of like a nickname.
I think they probably say coach.
Do you think they say Willie? At Houston?
No.
Why not?
Because they say coach.
Because Willie's his first name.
Ime?
I mean.
Why can't they say
everyone
Willie?
Everyone says Spo.
Willie.
They don't. No one says Eric.
But I bet they say Sark.
Everyone says Spo.
You say coach or Sark. I bet they might say
Pop.
Sark.
Pop's a nickname.
Elk.
That everyone calls.
Well, but see, you're staying basketball.
Yeah.
That's where people make a
lot
of money.
Well, this is basketball.
That's pros.
Yeah.
You think Alabama players were calling him, hey, Nick?
Well, no. That's my whole point. That's why at first I was taken aback by the Ime thing. But right. Then I realized, what
pros.
Would you call him?
That's pros. It's different.
Or you have a really long last name that no one can say.
Because 19 and 20-year-olds are
Coach
really.
L, like,
well, it's so different because 20-year-olds are very respectful nowadays, John. Yeah, it's a good point.
Things are different, yeah.
Yeah, nothing says respect.
But if you are an older basketball coach, particularly in the college level, you'll get the last name. They'll call you Coach L, Coach K, stuff like
that.
Coach.
I
mean,
I don't think.
Do you think they say Kelvin?
There's no chance they're saying Kelvin.
They say coach. You don't say Kelvin to Kelvin Sampson. I don't even say Kelvin. I say coach. That's a sign of respect. I've always believed that. You say coach to somebody as a sign of respect.
And should they garner respect?
Like I've told, when Laura Beavers is here. And
do you call her coach?
Yes, because our paychecks don't get where we need to have them. Like, she's got to do her job
so
with HR&P.
You don't have
a nickname. I say coach.
You don't have a nickname for her?
No, I just call her coach.
That's never happened.
Coach Beavers.
Coach Beavers.
Yeah.
Coach Beavers. Micah Parsons. Mike McCarthy had to address, after the game the other day, Micah Parsons is in the locker room, and he doubled down on his podcast, as a matter of fact. But here's Micah Parsons in the locker room talking about Mike McCarthy and his job.
Mike's on the final year of his contract, so outside there's, of course, going to be questions. What's the sentiment inside the locker room, and what do you tell people who are worried about whether McCarthy will be your coach next year?
You know, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants. But guys, I kind of feel bad for his guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
You guys were 2-2.
Okay. Now, I think he might have gone too far at the end there.
Yeah, the first part has been kind of misconstrued. Headlined. They got clickbaited into that. All he was saying is he can go wherever, meaning he can go coach still. These guys are at the end of their career. I think people intentionally – I noticed this is happening a lot more. People will willfully take something because they just say, you know what, it's a better narrative if we run with this.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to run with this. And
that's not new. That's been going on.
But
a long
you
time.
Know that's misconstrued. It was that what he said was misconstrued until
the end, where he said that guys
he's put in more time and more effort than Mike McCarthy. Like, dude, coaches
ever will.
Well, lifting weights is tough. Staying in conditioning is tough.
Is.
Mike McCarthy's not doing that.
No.
Well, look at him.
He's got a coach. Coaches are going to be up there anywhere from 16 to 18 hours a day. A lot of times. Minimum of four
Tell
days
it to Sean
a
McVay.
Week, 5 days a week.
Well, and here he is doing it again on his podcast, and it just kills me. I just don't get this. I'm doing a podcast during the regular season. I just don't get it. And it's just so unprofessional sports, the most unprofessional that I've seen. I mean, guys guys try to avoid any controversy, saying anything about their team, saying anything. Nah. They don't want, they want as little
time
with the media as possible.
Because they want to be their own brand.
Yeah, well, I guess now that's a different world.
Yeah.
It's a totally different world than it has ever been, as far as that goes. And look at the stuff that's already come up because of it. Well, Mike McCarthy answered the Micah Parsons, you don't work at all, yesterday.
Any comment?
Not today. I just couldn't help. Like anything with post-game remarks and really any remarks, When it does create questions for others in the locker room, something that I've always done, you know, conversation has to happen. So, you know, Mike and I had a conversation this morning about it and, you know, handled those things as men should handle it. You know, that wasn't his intent. And, you know, so that's something he can talk on. But, you know, the other part of it, too, is what comes out of this, too, all the way around, you know, questions for others. And also, I don't want to see any my players get attacked also from the other side of this, too. So we have so much more that we need to focus on, and that's really what we talk about pretty much, you know, throughout the day today. Is just we just got to keep it about football, bear down on the things we know we need to improve on, build off of some of the things that we did, felt like we got better, throughout these games coming up.
So that's the thing. That's the thing that coaches always, and players want to avoid. I have to answer questions because of something that you said.
Mm-hmm.
That has been, in the locker room, that has been a priority of something never to happen. You said something, and I have to answer for it. And you, because then other guys get, hey, did you hear what he said? Did you hear that Dak Prescott isn't in his top 10 quarterbacks?
Coach,
in the
can
league?
You comment on something that was said on Micah's podcast with Trevon Diggs?
Exactly. And oh, not only him. I got to go to Dak Prescott and say, hey, you know, Micah didn't put you in his top five, quarter, top six quarterbacks in the league. Oh, okay.
Yeah, my Micah, it's a different time, John. But this is, you know, talk about keeping the main thing the main thing. That this doesn't feel like the main thing anymore.
It's not.
It's one thing to want to have your voice heard and not let the media control your narrative and all that stuff. I get it. You know, I get it. But
would you want one of your Texans being having a podcast?
No, not really. No. Not in season. Just because it leads to. I'm a big believer in keeping your family stuff in house. Uh-huh. You don't put your dirty laundry out there. I think I think there used to be a code with NFL players and athletes in general that, man, it stays here, right? The no snitching policy. And now you got guys who just really love to gossip, and they just love to sit around and gossip and sip tea with each other, just telling on all kinds of stuff. It's crazy. Like, it's not, I guess it's a generational thing, but man, the family stuff stays family, and now you put all that out there publicly, and I'm not saying you're telling all the business. That's not really the case. It's not. I'm not saying you're telling this guy got into a fight with that guy or whatever. So that's actually not happening. I don't want to overstate that, but it does, as you just mentioned, John. Little segments and things like this turn into opportunities for either things to be misconstrued or for you to misspeak on something you shouldn't. And just the little thing like that Dak thing. It just looks so bad on the team when two of his own teammates, and I don't care if they're keeping it real or they're, you know, this is like a barbershop thing where they're just being honest and I want guys to speak facts. It's not good for the family. It's not good for the family when that's out there, because it shows it represents dissension between players and quarterback if they don't have their guys back. Remember what Jeff Van Gundy would tell us? Like, Jeff Van Gundy, anybody in the media, you came after Kelvin Cato or Steve Francis when he didn't go to practice because he went to the Super Bowl or whatever. And this is years ago. A lot of you won't even probably even know this happened. Kelvin Cato, we would all go after Kelvin Cato. Van Gundy would have his guys back. Like, you couldn't bring that up to him in a media setting because he was going to have their back no matter what. Like, he disciplined Steve Francis, but when the media talked to him, if you were expecting him to have a soundbite where he was going to talk bad about Steve Francis, you were, even though you knew he was pissed about that stuff, you were never getting it. Never, never, never. And maybe I'm old school in this regard, but I liked it. I think you keep team stuff inside the team. I really do. And I think podcasts do nothing. In-season podcasts do nothing. I don't like it with the Kelseys. I don't like, you know, some can be. The Kelseys do, I don't know how much football stuff, I don't listen to them, frankly. But I know that what they say isn't popping up that much. It must be pretty innocuous because it's not really popping up that much in my mentions about something that Travis Kelce said that was controversial. Michael's showing up every 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And
that team sucks, and the organization is a mess.
And he's not even playing.
And Jerry is completely, like, you know, CeeDee Lamb said, can we get some curtains up here to block out that light? And Jerry is just, oh.
Oh, Jerry went
Jerry
off.
Jerry got curtains. He lost his mind.
He did.
Like, what is going on with Jerry? This is Jerry, no, right now. I've never seen him this unhinged.
Yeah. No, Jerry is. He's out of control. He is pissed.
So I'm supposed to get curtains. You want me to knock the whole damn stadium down and get some new, build a new one with some curtains? But Jerry, just saying, your wide receivers have a light right in their eyes. I like, whoa, is it really this crazy that they're trying to say, hey,
like Jerry said, CeeDee knew a year beforehand this might happen. That's what he said. Hey, everyone, you know, a year the schedule comes out and you know a year beforehand. I was like, Jerry,
we know where the sun is.
Look, what? It's hubris, what? Man, he built the stadium in a way that no other stadium is built specifically because he wanted Sun to come in, and now it's been a problem for years, and he's not going to be questioned.
You know who that was? That's Brian Schottenheimer. He called that play. It's the play caller.
Well,
he called a play into the Sun. He's got
to
go.
How do you not call a play into the Sun when you're trying to score a touchdown there?
You run it towards the sideline.
How about going to the corner of the end zone? That's what Sun wasn't
run
there.
Run the ball with the Sun to your back.
Well, at some point, I have to go in the opposite direction. I can't go in the direction where the Sun isn't all the time.
Well, maybe you should have taken the ball and gone that way during that quarter.
But
you knew where the Sun was going to be.
Okay, Jerry.
Slowick would have called one of those sack plays where he goes, all right, let me get a Jet 22 YX sack on three. And then he calls for it to be a sack so the field goes longer.
You keep dancing around it, but it sounds like you just called for Bob Slowick to be fired.
Yeah, you did.
I said he calls the sack play.
I don't know.
That's what I've heard the fans say.
He calls
for plays where they get sacks.
Here's a play. I got a play for you. It's go to the Nico Nico's app. It's called OPA, O-P-A. It's the OPA app. Download it. Get 100 free points just for joining. Then every bite you take at Nico Nico's earns you points for free food, drinks, desserts, even free meals. What's better than that? Nothing. Opa. Opa. That's right. And listen, you're gonna tailgate or you've got an event? The catering at Nico Nico's is totally sweet, okay? What are you looking for? How about Greek food for a change? It is delicious. You get that Greek salad. Their Greek salad is fantastic with the kalamata olives. What? Okay, you want Greek fried meatballs? You want gyros? You want spinach cheese pies? You want chicken or gyro skewers? I'm telling you, you will love the – it's a great way. How about this? We don't think about this. Greek food for my event, your Christmas, your turkey, your tailgate, whatever it is. Catering at NicoNicos.com. Three locations now. They got a new one at 922 Lakefront Circle in the Woodlands, I-45 near Research Forest, Montrose and Westheimer, and I-10 and the Beltway. You're looking for a great way, and get the app so that you get free stuff. Opa! It's Nico Nico's, baby.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome. How about, did you guys see Jake Pope, the Georgia player?
Yes.
Who was celebrating?
So here's the scene. So Ole Miss has just beat Georgia, huge upset. Well, it wasn't really a huge upset. I mean, they're a 2-point dog at home. But so all the fans, you know, stormed the field. And there's a video, and it's a camera phone, they're just kind of walking past this group. And all of a sudden, you notice a player in a white jersey with gray pants jumping up and down with these Ole Miss fans. And it turns out it's this guy, Jake Pope. He's an Alabama transfer to Georgia. Running back, wide receiver, I don't know. White guy, so either way, he didn't look like a slot possession receiver to me. I think he's actually a running back. But he's jumping up and down.
No, he's number 82.
You sure he's 82. 22, I'm pretty
oh,
sure.
Oh, no, he's 22. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, and so he's jumping up and down. And here's the story. The story
well,
is
you know who he's jumping up and down with.
Family friends.
Family friends that surprised
that
him at the
them.
Game.
They surprised him at the game.
Yeah.
With that, yes, and that's what it was. But it looks terrible.
It looks terrible.
Because and Kirby Smart was asked, do you have Kirby?
Yeah.
He was asked about it. Do you have it, Dell, the Kirby sound? I don't know if Dell can hear me right now.
Oh. Well.
Do you have the Kirby, Kirby Smart sound where he called the kid an idiot? You do? Oh, here. Let's listen to Kirby. Because Kirby's usually a guy who's just very calm and nothing really bothers him too much. And they ask, Coach, did you happen to see Jake Pope jumping up and down with Ole Miss fans after the game? I don't know if you saw that. What'd you think about that, Kirby?
Kirby, there's a video on social media of Jake Pope seemingly celebrating with some Ole Miss fans on the field after the game. Just wanted to see if you had seen that and what your reaction to it was.
Yeah, what an idiot. I mean, just stupid. I didn't see it till today, but he's embarrassed about it. He's upset about it. That's obviously a childhood friend of his. He grew up and played with there at Buford and knows him, hadn't seen him in forever, but just not real smart. But to be honest with you, I don't have time to waste energy on that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like my focus is on Tennessee. I'm not worried about that.
You know, it's funny. You can tell the guy who asked the question is a younger guy, right? You can tell that in his voice, right? That is so a question. Like, the 57-year-old beat writer who's been at the Tennessee or who's been at the Macon County Register or whatever for the last 22 years covering the Dogs, he's not going to ask. He doesn't know about it. He's not going to ask that question. He's like, that's the younger guy's asking, did you see that video, that viral video where that guy was jumping? Your player was just like, that's a great example of how old media is not going to care about all that. But you knew that kid was not going to let that go. Like, oh, I'm asking Kirby about this one. And I also like the fact that when you're from the South, sometimes you say stupid. You don't say stupid. You say idiot. I was so stupid.
Dude, so stupid.
Stupid.
Idiot.
Stupid idiot. What do you think? I know he ain't seen his friend, but that was some dumb. Stupid ass dumb idiot. Kirby. Sometimes I have my own Kirby smart moments where I just see things and they go, stupid.
Okay, so just an FYI, Lance. I know you're going to be heartbroken about this. But Reggie Jackson no longer part of the Astros advisors.
It came out last week. It's sad to see part of a real dynasty. The Reggie Jackson years were just very historical. He's actually been with the team longer than you probably think.
Yeah, no,
he was here for World Series, but I'm sad to see. That's a baseball guy. You know, he with his baseball eyes, he was able to make great baseball decisions and really, you know, got away from the dumb numbers guys that were busy building
dummies,
building championships.
Idiot,
but
he's one of the stupid idiot stupids.
And instead, we got in him and Baggy. And I thought the comments, I read the comments online, and I noticed Jeff Bagwell got mentioned by a lot of fans also. I'm not going to tell you what they said, but they mentioned
him. How happy they are that he's still here.
Yes, yes. Yeah. They're like, don't take our Jeff. If it has to be somebody, let it be Reggie. Don't take our Jeff, is what they were mostly saying. It was mostly peaceful on Twitter.
Mostly people just promoting, hey, good, that's more decisions for Jeff.
Yeah, that's right. How'd you know? Oh, you must have read the same thread I did. I did. Like, good, Jeff can finally work unencumbered. Let Jeff cook. I saw a lot of things that said, let Baggy cook.
Let Baggy cook.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited. I think good things are on the way.
All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. We got John Daspit to talk about right now.
Yeah, the personal injury lawyer that has taken on cases. He had a big case. I say it was a big case. It was an important case for him, for people he knew, and he helped them with. They had a lot of things stolen during Hurricane Beryl. All the security stuff went down, and this place was ransacked. It was just a complete disaster. And I didn't even realize that John stood up for the people he knew there and fought for, I don't know, I think there was 8 to 10 of them. And he filed these lawsuits, and I didn't even realize that was a lawsuit he practiced. But they lost because of the incompetence of the security system and the security officers there. There was a loss of property and much, much more, and John Daspit was there to fight for them. You know, personal injury loss is going to be one thing, and that's going to be his primary focus. But there's a lot of different ways that takes place. And if you go to the website, you'll have the best idea of understanding what it is that John Daspit and his law firm, who they represent and what type of law that they practice inside that personal injury bubble. And the thing you need to know is they're the biggest in Houston. They file the most cases. But not only that, they have the most lawyers. And it's important because you get the attention you deserve. You are not a number to them. They're going to make sure and fight for every dollar you have coming, and they're going to win big. Winning big's not even enough for John Daspit. He's going to blow out the other side because he's tired of what they've been doing to regular people just like us. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW, or go to DaspitLaw.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. One thing we haven't mentioned this week yet, the women's 3-on-3 just got a lot better. Caitlin Clark joined the women's 3-on-3. So
this is a thing, women's 3-on-3 league?
It was started by Brianna Stewart. Mm-hmm. For an off-season way for basketball players to make money. They're all guaranteed over $100,000. They're all guaranteed six figures. And she needed to have Caitlin Clark in, and Caitlin Clark said she's going to play. So
making a lot of people. The sentiment on her is going to turn a lot when she starts making the other women money, more money. It's going to really turn a lot because whoever wanted her in, I don't know who spearheaded this. Was it Brianna Stewart who spearheaded it this year too? Okay. That's, you know, she knows that that's where the money is. That's where the money is. So, yeah, good. People want to see it. Good for them to make more money. They don't have great deals right now relative to the sudden explosion of their league. So, yeah, good for them.
So, did you guys see also, because we're equal opportunity and I'm an ally.
Mm-hmm.
But
you are, yeah.
Dell, the women's national team
signed. Are you, though?
Signed Lily Yohannes.
I didn't see that. Why is that a thing?
Because she's like a superstar. She's 17, and she could have signed with the Netherlands.
Oh, it was. She's a dual national, and she chose the U.S. team? Oh.
She chose the U.S. team.
Well, that is something that continues to be really an issue on the men's side. Sometimes they lose out on guys who can be dual nationals, and that's hurt them recently. We'll see with Pochettino if that can change a little bit. So congratulations to the U.S. We stay winning when it comes to women's soccer.
Well, it's different signing with the men and different with the women. But listen, if you're somebody that's going to turn around the men's team, wouldn't that be advantageous to be, you know, turn around America?
Well, it depends. Well, if your grandma is from, let's say, Italy, maybe you side with that. You grew up and you want to represent that country. That's kind of the battle. They do stories about this all the time when there's a kid from Mexico or his family's from Mexico. He has to pick between the two, and he's like, what's his name? Pepe. He is a guy who has Mexican. He's a Mexican and also an American, so he had to pick. And they talk about the back and forth between choosing to play for which.
Choose wisely.
What do you mean?
Well, you want people to go to Elk Tree? Okay.
Well, I'm telling you, that is their dilemma, not my dilemma. It's their dilemma. And they have to choose. And he chose America. Others have chosen Mexico. And it just goes back and forth.
Mexico now.
Does it? When I just explained the conflict between for a kid who has to choose between Mexico and the U.S., and I sound pro-Mexico? Because I just explained what he has to go through?
Yep.
Huh, okay. Well, you sound pro Italian all the time. You pick Italy over U.S. all the time.
I never
hear you talk about U.S. food. It's always now you're talking about Greek food or Italian food. It's always one of the two. When's the last time you talked about American food?
Yeah. When is the last time you talked about American food instead of,
like, chicken wings? You never talk about chicken wings. It's always
It's
Greek wings. It's Greek wings. Traditional American wings.
You take our American food and you put your little Greek twist on it.
Now he's talking about Nikos all the time. Are you Greek or are you American?
Yeah, which one?
Make a choice.
Pick a nationality, John.
I'm Italian American.
Pick
I'm
one.
Italian American.
Oh, sounds like you're Italian.
No, yeah. I'm Italian.
Sounds like
American.
You put it first. You put Italian first.
I love America. Mm. Okay,
Sounds like a traitor to me. Mm-hmm. I'm an Italian American. How come you're just not an American?
Yeah, why is that?
Oh, but it's okay to be African American.
We had black callers calling and say, hey, how come I can't just be an American? So how come you just want to be an Italian American? Why aren't you just an American?
Why don't you latch into this country? Well, wait a minute. What are you talking about, Dell? You're trying to push people to Elk Tree.
No, I'm not. I just gave you. I gave
you
an example.
Only true American
I'm trying
in this whole show.
Wait. I'm trying to push people to El Tree. Some woman.
My family's from Kansas.
Some woman.
It's the heartland.
Some woman called me a racist son of a bitch because I told her I didn't like El Tree.
That's right.
And I'm the one pushing people to El Tree.
I forgot we used to have that. Yeah, Dale, you racist
he's
son of a bitch.
Because he's a racist son of a bitch.
Dale's a racist son of a bitch. I forgot. That was just because you said you didn't like El Tree.
The team, not the country, just the team.
You're a racist son of a bitch is right. You're absolutely right.
Finally,
about
somebody
that.
Called you on that.
all right. We'll play this on the other side, too, because we got Frank Ross talking about attempting a 50-yard field goal instead of letting CJ go for it on fourth down. But that's not Frank Ross's decision. That's not Frank Ross's decision. But there was he was asked about that same thing last week. And so maybe we'll hear for that. I'll get you that, Del. Rockets win last night, 107-92. Did you see, man, Amen Thompson on a fast break was like, I don't know, about 10 feet behind this guy, and this guy's dribbling up.
Like a rocket, he was shot
out. He shot out of there.
God, and he's so fast.
And he got the guy from behind and stripped the ball from behind. Oh, my goodness.
By the way, did you see one of the smoothest moves that Jalen – I had to go back and watch it over and over. That move Jalen had where he was down the – you may not have been watching it because you had Miami on Dell, but – he went and he's driving and there's a defender right next to him and he kind of slows down, cuffs it in his right hand, puts a long Euro step to the side, switches it to the left hand and lays it up. Oh, my God. It was beautiful.
I'm watching it right now.
Beautiful.
Incredible. Yeah. Yeah. I love a layup more than I love a dunk.
You are a big layup guy. Yeah.
I'm a big
Anti-dunk guy, but a big – you want to make layups great again. I can notice that.
I'm trying to make layups great again.
Yeah,
I am.
I've noticed that about you.
And Tari did the same thing. How about Tari's? He had a couple of sweet layups where he went left and then right and then left. I mean, I'm a layup kind of guy.
You are a layup guy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm old school.
Mm-hmm.
Back when you couldn't even dunk in college. It was illegal. Those are the good old days.
It's not good old days.
Yeah.
That wasn't good old days when you couldn't dunk.
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome.
And then people complain about the women's game because they can't dunk.
Who complains about that? That's old school basketball. Women are playing old school Bob Cousy basketball.
Well,
right there.
Not through choice.
They can't dribble with their left. Is that what you just
said? No. The dunking.
Yeah.
I said the dunking part.
Oh, okay.
The women are good dribblers, better dribblers than many of the men are. All I hear about from my kids, Jaylen Brown can't go to his left. He'll never be one of the all-time greats. Jordan can go to his left. That immediately, you'll notice that there's whole videos on Jordan not being able to go to his left. I say, y'all worry about the dumbest stuff.
And that's crazy, too, because I saw him switch the ball to his left hand.
And then lay it up.
And lay it up
in there when no one was jumping.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you doing?
No,
we're
do
all
it.
Down here. Just throw it in. We're not,
no, he had
we're not
to
trying
do
to block it.
It. Just had to do it. He didn't showboat that one. Okay. That's iconic. Don't be talking about that one. All right. Time to talk about the Hoags. HogueLS.com. 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 That's where you make your backyard great again. I don't think I should put that on there, but I think you should make your backyard great. And if you want to make your backyard great, there's one way to do it, and that's Matt Hogue. Matt Hogue is going to come, and he will on his computer, he is going to show you a simulation of what your backyard is going to look like. You want a basketball court? You want a pickleball court? You want a bocce ball court? You want a pool? Do you want a fireplace? Do you want an outdoor kitchen? Do you want an outdoor lounge where you watch your games, multiple TVs? Oh, my goodness. I mean, it doesn't get any better. These are not just landscapers. They're not going to come and just cut your yard. These are exterior designers. These are people that are so good at making backyards. Go to their website. I'm telling you, go to Hogue, HogueLS.com, and see what they're doing. Because it's not like anybody else. It's just not. So you want the backyard. You want to be your best backyard. Yes, you got it. They're awesome. Commercial, residential, neighborhood, community. It's everything. They're just so good. Hogue, HOGUELS.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.